This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to The Hindu's In Focus podcast with me, Amit Barua, your host for this episode. If the data relating to electoral bonds placed the spotlight on corporate entities buying favors from political parties, the actions of enforcement agencies point to officials taking cues from their political masters in going after opposition politicians. The Indian Express newspaper reported on the 3rd of April that as many as 23 out of 25 prominent politicians who crossed over to the BJP since 2014 earned a reprieve from prosecution. So how is India faring in the battle against corruption? Or is selective targeting reducing the campaign against corruption to a farce? To discuss these issues, I have with me Vipul Mudgal, director of the NGO Common Cause. Common Cause, let me remind you, was one of the original petitioners in the electoral bonds case. Welcome to the In Focus podcast, Vipul.
Thank you.
So Vipul, tell us, what is your sense? I mean, how is India faring in the battle against corruption?
I mean, if you see how the rest of the world is reacting, I think that will be appropriate way of looking at how India is faring. You know, first time, two very important Western governments, that is Germany and the US, have openly questioned. I mean, they have said that they have doubts about the way, you know, election, on the eve of election, some people are being arrested. I'm not saying there is no corruption. There is corruption. There should be investigation of corruption. But there are things which are very, very suspect. As you said, 95% of the cases of corruption which are being investigated or for which raids are being done, for which people are being questioned, people are being interrogated, are all against political parties which are opposition parties, which are rival parties of the Bharatiya Janata Party. Now, that is a bit too much. And it's not just two Western governments. It's the United Nations is also. Amit, we all understand, we've been covering elections for a long time in India, and we know that Indian example, it's like a shining example for the rest of the world, a beacon of hope, how good elections, free and fair, can be conducted in developing countries. So, from that, we have come to a stage where United Nations is saying, a spokesman of the Secretary General the other day said that, you know, we hope that elections will be free and fair in India. That's not a scathing criticism, but definitely expressing a doubt. So all this is surrounding the way elections are being, on the eve of election, let me say, the government is being very selective about its anti-corruption investigation.
And would you say, Vipul, I mean, if in enforcement agencies and the government are selective, so actually those who may actually be involved in corruption also, this is helping their case in a sense?
Yeah, I mean, look, it is, I mean, when you are selective, then the question becomes different. If the question is whether there is corruption or not, then we would say definitely there is corruption. There is a question of probity in public life in India. There is bureaucratic corruption. There is political corruption. And of course, we know that the fountainhead of all corruption is the election, is the campaign financing in India. So, and it's world's most expensive election also. So the money involved is also huge. So the question here, I think, to my mind, is the selectivity of it. If you want to do, as you said, 23 out of 25 politicians who crossed over to BJP, who deserted their own political parties, became kosher overnight. You know, there was, it is so ridiculous. In one case, there was one politician who perhaps was expected to cross over, but suddenly he was given the ticket to contest election from Bombay at 9 a.m., At 10 a.m., there was a visit by one of these agencies to his place. You know, this is happening at a kind of lightning speed. Within 1 hour, action is taken. And juxtapose this with those people who were, there were allegations against them of being involved in chit fund agencies, which were cheating the poorest of poor in India of millions and billions of rupees. You know, there is no action against them in 5 years, 4 years, 3 years versus 1 hour. I mean, it is ridiculous. Is it a joke? If it is a joke, it's a very, very sad joke in India.
Vipul, as I mentioned in my introduction that, your NGO Common Cause was one of the main original petitioners in the electoral bonds case. So can you tell us a little bit about the importance of the Supreme Court judgment?
See, obviously, it is a very important judgment. I think one of the most important in recent times. There is no doubt that political deal-making, which was going on around the elections, will probably be reduced to a large extent. It will definitely end the so-called legalized corruption. You know, electoral bonds had, in a way, legalized big corruption in India. So it will also reduce almost complete takeover of Indian election by the corporates, by removing the cap of 7.5% of the profits. It will stop loss-making companies from doing electoral deals with political parties in power. You know, it will have impact on every part of Indian life. I mean, if you see it carefully, the way the companies are being blackmailed and the way companies are able to get away by doing wrongs, like there were some, I'm told there was some investigation done by some digital portal very recently, and it said that many drugs, pharmaceutical companies who had failed the drug test, they paid money, and apparently action was either stalled or delayed or something like that. So, I mean, that kind of nonsense will definitely stop. Cost of doing business in India will perhaps come down, I would say that shareholder democracy will be slightly better. That the shareholders of a company would know that the money which was meant for our dividends, it went to some political party and we did not even know about it. You know, so a whole lot, the entire gamut of things, shell companies, the way the Benami companies operate, their companies fronting for others, companies which are making losses, companies whose sole purpose in life is to collect money and give it to a political party. Companies which are giving money more than they earn, they are giving their reserves, their capital to the political party. I mean, that kind of ridiculousness will stop. But let me also say that corruption in India will not be over. Corruption in electoral funding will also not be over. But yes, quid pro quo will probably reduce. And let me also say the money extortion, which was apparently going on in the name of electoral bonds, will also come down.
And what is your sense? I mean, the whole electoral bond scheme was premised on the fact that the voter need not know where the money is coming from. So do you think that, we've seen in other cases that, the government has brought a different scheme in a sense to replace an older one. Do you think something of that might happen in this case as well?
Not really. I think there was one positive side to it, that all the money that was coming through the banking channels. Or it was either digitally transferred money or it was through check. So that was the positive side of it, but that is the end of the positive side. And then you weigh it against the negative side, there is no match. Everything else was wrong about it. The way it was introduced, the way the secrecy was kept, even the secrecy was hidden from the people of India. We were not told for a very long time until some journalist did a splendid job of buying an electoral bond, sending it to a laboratory and checking it under ultraviolet rays. This is like putting it to extreme kind of tests and finding out that there is indeed a unique number allotted to every electoral bond through which you can connect who's paying how much to whom, etc., etc. So all those things, I mean, that was like completely against the the principle of the voter's right to know. After all, a voter has a right to know everything about a political party he's voting or not voting, a candidate he's voting or not voting, for the simple reason that this is an important part of free and fair elections. So I think in that sense, this is something which is quite historical, that probably in the future also any political party would stop before taking this kind of a step in the so-called direction of transparency, but meaning it to kind of do just the reverse of it.
Vipul, do you think, given that, you know, a lot of sales were happening until recently, you think this will have any bearing on the upcoming general elections?
A little bit. I think, you see, what happens is, I mean, in my view, and I could be completely wrong in this, in my view, some of these issues don't become necessarily electoral issues on the street until political parties or leaders explain them in absolute street language, you know, in their idiom, where they say that, look, what is chanda? What is chanda ka dhanda? What is chanda ka fanda? You know, so I have heard people explaining it beautifully, but that we can't do and we don't want to do. Our job is to bring it to the attention of the Supreme Court of India that, sir, this is something unconstitutional, and we have succeeded in our job. The journalists who are doing a good job, and let me say that the mainstream media of India has completely failed in performing its duty, with the notable exception of the Hindu and the Indian Express, and of course a lot of digital agencies like the News Minute, like the Scroll, like the Reporters Collective, and some others. So, these things would not have come out, but they stopped there. From there, the baton has to be taken over by political parties and translated into issues that people understand, and let the people decide whether it is right or wrong. So I think that probably will depend to a large extent on how issues like kickbacks, quid pro quo, money extortion, etc., are explained in street language to the voters.
Vipul, what is your sense? You know, you mentioned one important point, that, you know, political leaders need to translate this into an idiom which ordinary people understand and take it to people. You would recall that in the 80s, we had this big Bofors scandal where 64 crores of kickback was alleged to have been paid. And what a big issue it became. And it was one of the issues that was responsible for unseating the then Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi. So what is your sense, you know, corruption, is this something Indians tolerate easily? Or is it something that does it actually concern a voter when he or she goes to the polling booth to press the button?
No, it does concern. It does concern the voter. It concerns the common man. But the issue has to be made. You know, like in 2014 and in the run-up to that election, there was a huge India Against Corruption movement, which was quite successful. And people were asking the right kind of questions. And they were court judgments like the 2G judgment, like the Cole judgment, etc., that also played a role in that. So I would say definitely all political parties must know that, I mean, these issues are very important. And it is also true that some issues can go under the carpet and some issues can become really big in no time. So there is no way of knowing what will finally get you. But at the same time, say the Congress party, when we see that, you know, some action is taken against them, perfectly all right. If there are corrupt leaders, they should go to jail. Whatever is the motivation, whatever is the... But you realize that what is the timing of it? It is being done just on the eve of the election. Then I think the action becomes suspicious.
You're talking about the notices to the for income tax violations. You're talking about that, Vipul?
Yeah. Absolutely. So, no, I'm still answering your question that yes, they can be victims of unfair action, but at the same time, corruption can be a very important issue, provided, you know, people talk about, people ask the right questions. And that doesn't always happen.
And what is your sense? I mean, you mentioned this India against corruption, just before the 2014 elections. You know, one of the main architects of that campaign, Arvind Kejriwal, who was the sitting chief minister, is the sitting chief minister of Delhi. He's behind bars. We also have the case of another chief minister who resigned just shortly before his arrest. So what do you make of these kind of developments?
No, I believe it was the arrest of Kejriwal and Hemant Soren of Jharkhand, which got the foreign Western powers to kind of raise their voice in a way, to raise their eyebrows about Indian elections. So I think everybody is watching, and people are, I know a lot of people who are complete supporters of the ruling party today are also asking this question. Why him? Why now? You know, what are the cases? Where is the money trail? Even the court is asking that kind of questions. So I think, people are also saying that, you know, why such a drastic thing? Why not cut their power, electricity and water also? Throw them out of their houses, you know, take away their membership of parliament. You know, anything goes, that in the name of corruption. That probably, I would say that this can probably become counterproductive for anybody who's trying, to use it as a kind of, as an unfair means.
Vipul, I'd also like to ask you, there is corruption at various levels. You know, you have the kind of corruption or nepotism that we've seen, in the electoral bonds matter. And, details are still coming in. But there is a everyday kind of corruption which, people engage in, whether it is to get some work done in a government office, whether it is bribing people, even for traffic violations. So there are various levels at which this, corruption operates. And a lot of people believe that, this is one way of getting their jobs done. I mean, do you think that as a country and as a people, we are so dependent on this kind of bribery that this is something which will actually never leave us?
So I agree with you. I think there is corruption in every field in India, and that needs to be tackled. But having said that, the small corruption does not matter so much. The small corruption, I think people can handle it. People can also tackle it. And if you do it smartly, you can also catch the small fish. But it is big problems like allocation of national resources, natural resources, allocations of spectrum, of coal mines, of other kinds of mining operations, etc. And then there are things like pharmaceutical companies' case, as I mentioned earlier, that if you fail the drug test, you should go to jail. This is now, there is no question that you can do sadabazi at a time when you are playing with people's lives. So I think big corruption, big corruption actually came down after this government came to power in the initial months. And then there was also a lot of hope. People thought that maybe, this will be taken to its logical conclusion. That did not happen, and we started moving in the opposite direction. So I think it is the systemic corruption, big corruption, and corruption which comes in the way of quid pro quo, where contracts are given to companies, which is now emerging that one company got a contract of 1400 crores and immediately bought electoral bonds worth 140 crores, just about 10% of that. Whole lot of other contracts are being given. Now, these are sensitive national security contracts. There are many contracts which mean a lot to the lives and livelihoods of people. So all this, I think that has to be seen before the small corruption on the street of a policeman definitely that is also important. But I think this is where big money is involved. This is where things that affect our lives are involved.
Vipul Mudgal, I think this distinction that you make is quite important. And as India deals with these issues of corruption, thank you so much for talking to the Hindus in Focus podcast.
Thank you.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.